This morning, our devotional comes from 1 Samuel 12, verses 11 through 15. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Japheth and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safe. And when he saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore behold the king who ye have chosen and whom ye shall have desired, and behold the Lord hath set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
As we left Jonah last week, he was in the belly of the well, and he's been in the belly of the well 3 days and three nights now. And let's keep in mind how that he got there. As Brother Jimmy read in our devotional background study, the Lord basically promised Israel that if they would obey, even though they had sinned in asking for a king, if they would not compound their sins, but turn to the Lord and worship him and serve him, that he would be with them and he would be with their king. There was a condition there of obedience, though, from them. And at this point in our lesson, we'll continue with Jonah. And we know from last week that Jonah disobeyed God. God had called Jonah to go preach to the Ninevites, and Jonah had done the opposite. He had run in the opposite direction. Brother Burt last week pointed out how that Jonah had witnessed to these sailors on this ship. And we read also last week about how these sailors prayed to God and they offered up sacrifice to God. I don't know necessarily that they offered up the sacrifice that God commanded the Jews to offer up, but nevertheless, they worshipped God, and they attempted to worship God. Whether they got saved, I don't know if that's what happened to them or not. But Jonah has told them about his God. He has stood up about his God. Now let's ask ourselves, why did he do that? Why was he willing to talk to these sailors, but he was unwilling to talk to these people of Nineveh? Well, Jonah was a racist. He was a Jew, and he was proud of that, I believe. He was full of pride that he was an Israelite. It meant something to him. Now, it should mean something to him. I don't want to make it sound like a light thing, but where he erred was in that he didn't appreciate that the people of Nineveh were human beings and they had souls, and that God wanted to save those souls. He wanted to save that people. And God knew that people could be saved. God knew what was going on. Jonah didn't look beyond himself. He didn't look beyond his people, and he didn't look beyond his pride, his pride in what God had given them. And he was lifted up with that pride. That was the problem. He didn't have a problem talking to these sailors. More than likely, they were Jews. And that he was okay with that. He was okay with people being saved as long as there was people that he wanted to see saved. He didn't want to reach out to these other people because he felt like they were inferior. And that was just wrong. He shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have felt that way about those people. Now, I'm going to read on with our lesson text here. I just wanted to give you a little bit of background so you can have that to think about and to consider Jonah and how he got where he was. Because Jonah was a saved person, and he was a prophet. And we'll pick up here in Jonah chapter 2, starting with verse 1 in the Sunday school book. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now keep in mind, he's been in this fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head, were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul faintest within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. In our lesson key. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now, Jonah here has been in the belly of this whale 3 days, and we don't have a record of what all his thoughts were and what occurred with him here. The writer of our Sunday school lesson said that over on the page 7, says, though the Bible is silent on the previous 3 days, 3 nights he spent in the belly, I wonder how much rest he obtained. When the ship was tossed to and fro, he managed to go to sleep. He was at ease. He was comfortable with his decision to leave these people of Nineveh to destruction. He wasn't worried about that. He was resting. He was okay. And yet God turned that around for him. I doubt that he slept any in the belly of that fish that swallowed him up. I think that the Lord got a hold of him there. The Lord brought him down to his knees, not just down to the bottom of the ocean or the belly of the fish, but spiritually, I believe the Lord broke him. And the reason I say that, because of what I just read here, how that he prayed to God, and the humble spirit that I perceive to come from this prayer that he is putting forth. The pride was gone. God took care of that pride that he had. Now, I keep coming back to pride. And one of the things that strikes me is that this is a child of God. We today are children of God. And it's very easy for us as God's people to be lifted up with pride even today. I know that I have that. That tends to, when things are going good, you know, I kind of tend to think that I'm doing it. I'm kind of, hey, I did, you know, and I've said this before, because it's something that I struggle with. I really is. And I have found that just as God brought Jonah down, he'll bring me down too. He'll cause trouble to enter into my life. And it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to be swallowed up with a fish. God can bring you down any way that he chooses. And he's got a lot of different ways. And he knows me, and he knows you, and he knows what it'll take. Evidently, it took a fish here for Jonah, because that's what got the job done. But it did get the job done. Jonah humbled himself. He turned to God when the Lord got a hold of him. Now, you know, I'm going to read here in just a minute about vanity, because he spoke here in the 8th verse. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. This is not the... Normally we think of vanity here as maybe a girl being really proud of her looks, being a vain person. That's not exactly what vanity means here, but rather uselessness, of no good. It's not going to accomplish anything. If I were to say, you know, I'm gonna recite a magic potion, and then I'm going to touch this metal bar here and it's going to turn to gold, well, you know that'd be vanity. That'd be useless. Anything that I said is not going to cause this bar to turn to gold. So it would be useless and a waste of time. So what he's saying here is they that observe lies, a lying promise, forsake their own mercy. They that believe in things that are not true, but rather those that turn to the Lord and believe in the truth can obtain mercy. And that's what Jonah did. He turned to the Lord. He turned to what he knew was true. And he asked the Lord, after he was brought down, he asked the Lord to forgive him. And he says in the second verse, that I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, by reason of being in the belly of that whale. Now, he was okay in the tempest. He was okay being cast into the sea. He was okay with death. None of that bothered him. But being in that belly of that well for 3 days and the Lord dealing with him, he cried out. So it was the trouble and the affliction that led him to a contrite heart and a broken spirit. And he says, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now in the Old Testament, hell can have two meanings. It can mean the grave, not the hell that we speak of, a burning hell. But it can also refer to a burning hell. Now, I'm thinking here that he's speaking of the grave, but I could be wrong. I don't know that for a fact. But I think he's talking about he has given up. He is willing to die. That's not a concern for him. And so out of the grave, out of that contrite spirit, he cried out, and thou heardest my voice. Now, he goes on to say, thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the flood compassed me about. The Lord turned his back upon Jonah because Jonah would not obey. Jonah wouldn't do what he had been commanded to do. And truthfully, Jonah wasn't commanded to do anything that was all that hard. Physically, the hardest thing Jonah had to do was get out and walk 400 miles. Now, that seems like a kind of a trying thing for us because we're not really used to walking so much. But for him, it wouldn't have been. I don't think that was even really a consideration. He was willing to walk, what did Bert say, 2,000, 3,000 miles, 2,600 miles, something like that, towards whatever city he had headed out for. That slipped my mind. That the walking part wasn't a problem for him. What was hard for him was overcoming his pride and going and preaching to this other people. And he didn't have a problem preaching. He preached just fine. But he stood up and he testified to these sailors just fine. That wasn't a problem for him. He was overcoming the thinking in his mind that these other people were inferior, that they didn't deserve to hear his great voice. And I think that's what it was. They didn't deserve to be blessed with the presence of this great Jew. Let me try to get back on track here. I want to go just for a second to Mark chapter 7, because then I'm going to try to get back to our lesson. To emphasize the seriousness of this pride, Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 22, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. The Lord put pride in some really serious sins there. It wasn't a light thing. And that's I want you to understand that. It wasn't a light thing to be lifted up here. And the Bible teaches us in the Old Testament how that pride is what was Satan's thing. He was proud of himself because the Bible teaches us that Satan was a beautiful angel. He was a powerful angel. But pride lifted him up and he set himself against God. He set himself as equal with God. And that was what caused his a downfall. That's what created the war in heaven, as best as I understand it. Now, going back to Jonah here. Jonah, as a child of God, had to be brought very low. We're the same way. Sometimes, you know, we get maybe not lifted up with pride, but just kind of at ease and going along and not really so much worried. And God has to bring us down low to get us to where we'll turn to Him, where we'll listen to Him. Because, you know, when things are easy, you don't really want to listen to God too much, because you know that God's going to put something on you that you don't really want to do. He's going to lead you somewhere that you'd really rather not be, just as Jonah. Jonah didn't really want to do this. He didn't want to do this at all, and he was willing to die rather than do what God would have him to do. But God knew how to bring him down. But when Jonah was brought down, what did he do? He turned to the one that saved his soul. He turned to the Lord and he prayed. That is our option today. That is what we can do when we get ourselves in trouble, when we don't listen to God and we get out of the way, we turn to God. He may have to break us down, but if we're smart, if we're wise, we'll understand what we're doing. We can look. Jonah could have looked and seen what he was doing. He was not a stupid person. He could understand. He could have stopped and thought it over, but he didn't. But when the Lord brought him down, he turned to God. He prayed to God. And I want you to notice some of the things that he prays here. In the sixth verse, he says, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O my Lord, O Lord my God. Jonah is acknowledging that his soul is secure. He's not at all worried about what's going to happen with his soul. He knows that if he dies in that fish, his soul is going to go to heaven. When my soul fainteth within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, unto thine holy temple. He remembers the salvation of the Lord. He remembers that time when he repented to God, and he humbled himself before God, and God saved his soul. And then he goes on to speak about, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. People that refuse to turn to God and seek after ways in the world to be saved or ways of the world to take care of them, they forsake that mercy that God has for them. They forsake the only hope that they have by turning from the one true God. And then he says in verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Now in the belly of the whale, Jonah is talking about thanksgiving. He's talking about being thankful for things that he has. I will pay that I have vowed. Now, I'm sure that when you were saved, you were like me, and that you promised God that you'd do whatever he'd have you to do. I did. Right before the Lord saved my soul, there was no limit to what I would have done if I could. Whatever he asked me for, I was willing, and I was going to do it. And I meant it. And he says here, I will pay that I have vowed. He's referring back, I believe, to that condition that he was in when the Lord saved his soul. And then he says, salvation is of the Lord. And then in the 10th verse it says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I don't think there was any space of time between when Jonah said, I'll do what you want me to do, I'll do what I promised I'd do, and the Lord spake to the fish and said, okay, put him out on the dry ground. The Lord heard that prayer, and the Lord put Jonah back upon the path that the Lord desired for Jonah to be upon immediately. That's about everything that I've got for today. One thing that I will go back here. Going back to the devotion background study that Jimmy read earlier, and I spoke about how the Israelites desired to have a king over them, and that was a sin. They committed a sin in doing that. And yet the Lord still promised them that if they would obey him, if they would serve him, that the Lord would be with them and he would be with their king. And the writer of our Sunday school book says on page 6 here, regardless of our sins and disobedience, we are to continue to serve the Lord with all our heart. Yet repentance is required to make us right with God. You know, we're no different. I mean, this isn't talking about Jonah. I mean, it was required for Jonah to reach a point of repentance, but it's required of us also, because we're imperfect people. We sin, and we need to acknowledge that. We need to turn back to God and ask him to forgive us of those sins. Because if we don't, then, as he just says here, it compounds. It just builds up and builds up. Brother Armour preached on that a few Sundays ago about sweeping it under the rug. And that's a problem, because we do that because of pride. We go right back to the same problem that Jonah had, that pride. We don't want to stand up and acknowledge our sins. We don't want to say, I'm human. I did some things that's wrong. I started to say I made mistakes, but sometimes that's the case, but a lot of times it's not. It's not a mistake. It's just a... Jonah didn't make a mistake. He knew what he was supposed to do because God told him what to do. Jonah knew God. He was a child of God. And yet, it wasn't a mistake. He just didn't want to do because of pride. And, you know, it's the same way for us today. We don't want to do what God would have us to do. And many times it's because of pride. I won't say always. But, you know, if you sit down and study it, I think that more than likely, more times than not, it is pride that gets in between us and God. That's possibly the biggest thing that the human race and God's own people struggle with, is pride getting between us and our God. And, you know, that prevents us from repenting, because the Bible teaches us a humble heart and a contrite spirit the Lord will not deny. He'll be with that person. He'll hear that person. But pride goeth before a fall. And, you know, I can't think of too much of a bigger fall than to be in the belly of a fish or a whale or whatever the case it may have been. And he speaks there about that seaweed being wrapped around his head. Stop and think about that for a little bit. That wasn't just for a few minutes. It wasn't for a few hours. That was for 3 days and three nights, the Bible says. He had a lot of thinking to do. It wasn't just a short space of time there. And he was brought low in a lot of different senses of that word there. That's everything that I have for today. I hope y'all got something out of it. And I appreciate y'all coming here today, being here. Let's remember the prayer request that's been made, both today and the ones that was made in the past, and keep Brother Armour in our prayers. The Lord might be able to use him. Does anybody have any thoughts, any questions, comments?
I think John was not doing as well. I mean, he had other things
with the sea with this
fish, and
then tell me about whale. There was a lot of things going on there. There were a lot of problems to deal with there, other than spiritual problems. His biggest problem was a spiritual problem, but yeah, there was a lot of things covered there.
He thought he'd get away when they got food
and
he got food.
Yeah, and he was, you know, I believe he thought, when he told them, throw me over the side of the boat, he thought that he was going to be thrown off the side of the boat and he was going to drown and die, and that would be it, and that was okay because he was going to go to heaven. And he wasn't worried about what was going to happen to those people. He wasn't concerned at all, I don't believe. at the end of 3 days, I believe he got concerned. I believe he was being brought down, but, you know, we're going to study some more about him, and he bounced back kind of quick. We'll study that another week. I guess, again, that's human nature, and that's the nature of us as individuals to return to our disobedient ways many times. I can't go too far.
He thought he's going. He can't get away from God. You know? God, he's in control of everything. He was showing
that
he was in control of everything.
Yeah.
I'd say after 3 days, he was probably thinking,
I think that sunk in, you know, after the first few hours. I think he kind of realized, the Lord's not going to let me die. I'm not going to get away with this. It's not going to work.
Well, what I find
interesting with it is that, and I remember
reading about when we were studying about Joseph, and either you or Brother Burton kind of brought out something that you know, the Lord's will is going to be done. It's how we're going to get to that from A to B, mm-hmm. and everything in between. And that's the same thing. If he'd just gone and done what the Lord wanted mm-hmm. to do, he'd have happened. Things would have been a lot easier. And we really need to look at that for ourselves.
Right.
And think, God's will is going to be done.
This is right.
How much struggle we want to have getting to that point is up to us. Mm-hmm. If we just go ahead and listen to it, might not be what we want to do, but we always have to remember he knows best because he sees the end result. We can't see that.
That's right.
You know, we just need to, we need to remember that we just bring a whole lot of hardship on ourselves.
Yep, we do. If there's nothing else, let's be dismissed and let's keep the prayers in our heart for the lost and for the sick, for the honor. Brother Quinn, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, this Lord's Day, Heavenly Father, I want you to come back to my house and bless. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Son's service, for the Father, be with Brother Arnold and that service, be with the Lord, not be here, that it not be lost. Forgive us all of our sins, be with the requests that we make, and turn according to your will. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.